The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray, my friend, on the other side of the glass. Doesn't mean we don't want him on this side of the glass. It's just the way the studio is set up. It's on this Tuesday, April the 24th. Hope the week is off to a pretty good start for you. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We have our worldwide live listening, which means our live streaming at KVOI.com and at buckmastershow.com. So both places will have the live stream of our program. As usual, a very full hour. We try to jam-pack, if you will, the content into the hour. And so let's get right to it. Dr. Zach Guido is a research scientist at the University of Arizona-based Institute of the Environment. Zach is also the program manager for international research and application programs at the University of Arizona. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And when you were here in February, it was a rare anomaly. It was actually, it was raining. It was one of the few rain events between October 1st and through March in what has turned out to be one of the driest six-month periods in Tucson weather history.
Boy, it sure has. And I wish coming here today would bring more rain.
Bring the rain, man.
But you're right. That's been about it this winter. Those 3 days in mid-February here in Tucson produced about two-thirds of the total rainfall. And, you know, if you look at the totals, historically we get about 5 inches of rain at the Tucson airport. Got about half of that this year. So, you know, it's been a one-hit wonder, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, the drought is tightening its grip. It's not just Tucson, but it really is a wide swath of the American Southwest, and it goes into New Mexico and lots of parts of Arizona. And the outlook that came out from your friends over at the Southwest Climate Outlook doesn't look very promising for the next 3 months.
No, I mean, you have to go back to 2006, I believe, June of 2006, for a drought picture as extreme as we currently are in. You know, we came into this winter in fairly good shape, but have steadily progressed because of the lack of precipitation. And now I believe something on the order of half the state of Arizona is in extreme drought, which is you know, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, which sort of oversees the drought picture in the United States, you know, they have five categories, and the extreme drought category is the fourth. So we're getting up there, and you know, we're now progressing into, you know, the heat season. So all of our precip is you know, save for a very rare event, it's all in the rearview mirror. So we can't expect any drought relief until the monsoon starts.
Last year, it might have been last year or the year before, we did get an unusual May rain that helped us. But that would be unusual because normally at this point, we have to almost wait now till the 4th of July for some rain.
Yeah, that's right. And you can get those May showers or, you know, late April showers. They do happen. They're just rare, and they tend not to bring a lot of rain with them. And of course, it's enveloped in and a lot of hot temperatures. And so the evaporation happens really quickly. And the environment is queued up really to, you know, receiving rains in the winter. And, it's sort of already, by this time, it's already sort of shutting down.
The snowpack has been miserable, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is all sort of centering around the same theme here, which is a lack of precip. And I think when you look at the snowpack situation, you got to look broader than just Arizona. I mean, most of the West, you have to go up to northern Colorado and Utah and really getting into Wyoming and Montana before you see above average snowpacks. And so much of Colorado, Utah, much of the upper Colorado River Basin, the lower Colorado River Basin, all experienced much below average precipitation. And you know, that matters for our water supply. The current projection from the Colorado Basin River Forecast Center for the Colorado River is something about 50% of average stream flow for the Colorado River.
All right, let's go to the live line right now. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Zach, obviously Southern Arizona relies heavily on CAP and water via CAP for recharge. Recently, I gather that the other states are concerned about how CAP has been, doing its activities and sent a letter or possibly a suit. What are we doing right and what are we doing wrong? I know we're doing rain harvesting. I know we're doing lots of things, but on a big policy level, have we really changed the way the state manages water? How much water are we giving to agriculture? Is that now an issue? Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, that's a really great and complicated question. There's a couple questions in there. I think the issue is, I believe CAP, and I'm not an expert on this, but I believe CAP is withdrawing some water from the Colorado River, and obviously the Upper Colorado River Basin thinks that they're trying to game the system. I believe is what the current issue is. I don't have many thoughts on that, but I do know that the water supply issue here it's extremely challenging, Bill. I think we've talked about it.
And I mean, what is the best way to? I mean, the we've done some good things with the recharging, but you got to look at the big picture, the long term.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of it depends on the winter stream flow. There's a lot of conservation going on. Much of the water goes to ag. I think the debate right now is about how to partition the water between the Upper Colorado River Basin and the Lower Colorado River Basin. I think it's I'm going to let that for the experts. I think it's the best way to handle
and
that.
Yeah, there's been. I mean, historically, the states have always fought over the Colorado River. The Colorado River states all feel they should be getting more, and what's going to happen with the tribes? That's going to be an ongoing issue. What about the El Nino, La Nina? Where are we with that?
Well, we just came out of a La Nina event. La Ninas tend to bring drier conditions to the Southwest. That's kind of what we saw. We're heading now into a period of time where it's really difficult to project what's going to be on the future. There is a lot of indication that perhaps an El Nino will form. Forecasters don't like to make the prediction until after the summer when they have better indication in the tropical Pacific Ocean. If there is a La Nina on the horizon, the tendency is to be slightly above average precipitation, although as we saw a few years ago, when we had a pretty strong, one of the strongest El Ninos on record, that we didn't get above average precipitation. So, as a climatologist, you sort of look at the big picture, the El Nino, the Southern Oscillation, the ENSO, as they call it, that's our leading predictor of seasonal climate. Let's see in a couple months, we can have this conversation again. I think there'll be a better indication.
Are we considered then in a neutral phase? I mean, are we always in either El Nino or La Nina? Is there a neutral?
There
area,
is
a reset period.
Yeah, there is. And in fact, how they measure it, about 25% of the time, if you look at the historical record, about 25% it's in La Nina, about 25% it's in El Nino. And then for the most of the year, it's 50%. It's in neutral. So you have to get temperatures below a certain threshold for it to be La Nina, and temperatures in the Pacific Ocean above a certain threshold for it to be an El Nino. And during the middle phase, the and so neutral in the Southwest, we can have both wet and dry conditions. And in fact, there's a lot more variability during that period. We've had, I believe, our wettest year on record during El Nino, or during a neutral phase. So, you know, it's not the only thing going on in the climate. It's one of the things that we look to, but you also have to understand sort of the current conditions. You have to understand some of these other large scale atmospheric and ocean patterns that combined with what's going on with El Nino and La Nina to really understand the climate. But at this stage, we do look at ENSO out, 6 months to see if there's an indication of what the future may hold.
All right, Zach, we're out of time, but let's hope we'll keep our fingers crossed for a good monsoon season. Very difficult, isn't it, Zach, to predict what kind of rain year we're going to have?
I make no predictions about the monsoon. It will rain is the only prediction I make.
There you go. Thanks very much, Zach Guido from the University of Arizona. Before we take our break with our recorded messages, we want to tell you about our favorite bakery in town. Zach, do you like bakery goods?
I love bakery goods.
Who doesn't? I mean, it's kind of a non-starter. Everybody loves them. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve and Sherry get up so early in the morning to do the baked bread, so you'll have a beautiful sandwich if you go by there right now. Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of our fine sponsors and partners of the Buckmaster Show. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday during the noon hour, Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez updates the road tax push, plus a deep dive into Tucson's most well-known restaurant owner, Janos Wilder. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we'd like to turn to our guy, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, who is enjoying the final week, I believe, week or so, of a nice holiday in Italy. And he is on the live line right now from Europe, where it's about 9:21 in the evening. Hello, Shelley.
Hi, Bill. How are you today?
Doing very well. Boy, I'll tell you, the Wall Street folks are in a bad mood today. We're below... Well, we hit about, it was up down 500 and some points. Now it's about down about 450 points. Bad day on the market.
Yeah, the Tuesday curse is certainly working. we're off the lows for the day, but we're still down about 450 points, as you said, and that's kind of alarming given the volatility that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. So. We're now well into negative territory when it comes to where we started the year, and at below 24,000, I think that we're clearly in a correction, but maybe there's something more fundamental going on. And this is a little bit on the academic side, but the 10-year bond. Is now at around 3%. That, I think, is very alarming to investors because that indicates that the Fed will probably need to raise interest rates in order to overcome the potential for inflation. And that's what's got this market really spooked right now.
Let's talk about Brexit. We haven't talked about that very much of late. And since you are in Europe, what's going on with that right now?
Well, as you and I have chatted in the past, I've always believed that the Brits would do something to modify the vote that they took that authorized them or actually forced them to leave the European Union. And we're now beginning to see an organized effort on the part of several different disparate groups in the UK to find ways to fix the Brexit problem such that the extreme financial impacts of a removal of the UK from the EU would be minimized. And one of the ways they're looking at doing that right now is through something called a customs agreement, which essentially means that they are trying to find ways of allowing goods, if not people, but goods, to flow back and forth between EU countries and the UK without tariffs and without border restraints. That would have two effects. The first is that it would make trade between the EU and the UK a lot easier. The second is that it kind of solves the Irish border problem, which, you know, seems to be the tail wagging the dog. But if you're a Brit, this whole idea of not putting up barriers between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland are very, very important to the preservation of what is now a pretty durable peace between the two countries. So this kind of effect, which is now being taken up in the House of Commons, is going to, if it goes through in the way that it's being kind of forecast to walk its way through the British process, if that goes through, it's going to put a great deal of pressure on the Prime Minister and the need to find ways to either put this up for another vote or to negotiate with the European Union a set of rules that would minimize the negative impact on the British economy. That's beginning to take shape now, and I thought until today that would have a settling effect on some of the volatility of the markets, but clearly other effects, most of them coming from the U.S. side, are just spooking the markets in general.
In the remaining couple of minutes, what have been some of your impressions of your 3 weeks in Italy, Shelley Fishman?
Well, we're in southern Italy, and as we talked about last week, one of the things that has always plagued the south of Italy has been income inequality and the fact that the infrastructure in the south has been so overwhelmed by what the Italians, any Italian on the street, certainly Italian business people, will call corruption. That certain people have an undue amount of influence and a stake in the investment and who controls the investment in southern Italy. And as a result, they don't get their fair share, and there is not the kind of income transparency, if you will, or income leveling that is more common, say, in the democratic, the social democratic system than it is, say, in our system. Here in the south of Italy, you just don't get that. You get a lot of income disparity, and that causes a tremendous amount of lack of investment, brain drain. You know, some of the things that we see in the south of our country, and also even in Tucson, where you know, you look 100 miles north, and you have a kind of a thriving community in Phoenix, but down in Tucson, even though we're doing better than we've done in a very long time, we still see a tremendous drain and a tremendous inability to share the growth that is happening in the state. And that causes overwhelming amounts of poverty and other problems with infrastructure very clever ways are devised by county and city government to try to overcome that, but it's hard to do. And that's what I'm seeing here. In Naples, we saw almost no construction. What construction we did see was essentially the subway system. Capri, of course, is a resort town, and so you have the rich people and everybody else. Now we're just south of Salerno, in a beach town, and it's clear that there is a season. It's tourist oriented, but Salerno is a very industrialized city. There is some construction going on. Some of it is very exciting, but you just don't get the same kind of feeling of excitement and prosperity that, for for instance, 2 years ago when we were in northern Italy, in Rome, in Florence, and certainly in Milan, that you got that feeling of just people on the street having money. There's construction cranes all over the place. You don't get that down here. And so when I talk to business people, when I talk to service help and that kind of thing, there's not the feeling of optimism.
All right.
You have.
All right, Shelley, we will see you in studio, I guess, a week from today.
No, I'll still be in Italy a week from today. We'll be calling it in back from Naples, but then 2 weeks from today I'll be there.
Okay, thanks, Shelley. Have a great day, great evening. Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
I want to make a big announcement coming up Monday here on the program concerning Green Things. This is really exciting. Green Things, our favorite nursery, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Be sure to tune in on Monday as we make an announcement about an acquisition that Green Things has made. It's very exciting stuff. We'll take our break right here. Be right back.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
Join the Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at Hotel Tucson City Center at 475 North Granada. Enjoy the plant show and check out the plants, pottery, books, and art for sale from dozens of vendors, as well as locally rescued saguaro, beryl, mamayadia, and hedgehog cactus and ocotillos. For information about workshops on container gardening, landscaping tips, cooking with cactus, and other unique topics, go to tucsoncactus.org. That's tucsoncactus.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition, Silver City and Grant County, one of our fine sponsors over in New Mexico. You know, it's a midweek getaway or a weekend getaway. How's that? 3 hours from Tucson if you want to just hang out in a lovely environment, do some hiking. Perfect time of year. Historic Silver City, really so much to do there. The complete listing of the many activities, the recreation ideas that they can provide for you at the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Also, they have a listing of really some great places to stay, so it makes a really nice outing for a couple of days, or why not a full week? It's up to you, but it is a great getaway. 12:35 now on the Buckmaster Show. Legislative District number 9, it looks like there will be a three-way Democratic primary, and the winner, the top two vote-getters, will go on to face the Republican Anna Henderson. So basically, there will be four candidates at this point. J.P. Martin is one of them. J.P. Is one of the Democratic candidates hoping to knock off one of the incumbents in that primary. J.P., how are you, sir?
Bill, I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to get into this thing.
So I've been hanging at the Capitol for the past 6 years because I'm passionate about effective government. And ever since then, I've been at the legislature and I've seen the Democrats write really good bills. I've written some bills and they all fail. And so I'd like to see a change in that because we're not representing Southern Arizona in the way that I think we should be showing ourselves.
How can we accelerate the local economy to a way that helps people like yourself with job training and retaining young professionals in this town?
So Tucson is growing, and as we're bringing bigger companies in here, they're going to need a more educated workforce. The way that we can really do that is by funding education. I think that what's happening on Thursday is going to be very telling to see how the legislature evolves, if they're going to take any sort of more drastic measures to commit to K-12 funding.
Where are you on this whole red for ed thing, JP?
So, Bill, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I am wearing red.
I did notice that.
That wasn't incidental. I'm very supportive of this movement. Catalina Foothills, which is a large chunk of the district that I'd like to represent, is also closing. But the superintendent there has done great work to make sure that we meet the minimum attainment for the days that students have to go to school. They'll be adding whatever number of days teachers strike to the end of the school year to make sure that we have graduates and they can still go to their freshman year of college and we can keep the system going.
A little bit more about yourself. You have been involved in mentorship programs. You've been working with Young Entrepreneurs Academy. You're currently working for a international economic development company at Global Chamber. How old are you, and when did you decide that politics would be something that you would be involved with?
So, easy question. I'm 28. Okay. I've started mentoring 8-year-olds. I was a big brother for Big Brothers Big Sisters. I also am a mentor at Young Entrepreneurs Academy. We teach 11 through 16-year-olds how to start their own business. I think it's so important for young professionals in town to not only be mentored, but have mentees. And I'm so excited for the generation that's below me they show so much promise, so much leadership, and incubating that and really forming that so that they can maximize it when they're my age is what my plan is.
I want to go back to the economic development area. You reached out to me on Facebook. We're friends on Facebook. You have a very active Facebook page, and as do I. And you reached out to me after my interview a couple of weeks ago, with State Representative Pamela Hanley Powers. And she was very much not approving of the whole Rio Nuevo and the extension of the Rio Nuevo, and you took issue with that.
You know, I did. Think about you going to college to get a four-year education, and the only thing you study is English. And then you get out and you go to the legislature where we have to fumble with all of these different issues and weigh our values in different ways. But all you have is this single issue that you care about beating on. And I think that that's why I'm disappointed with some of the decisions made by that legislator. And that's why partly why I'm running. I think that the return on the investment that we get because of what Rio Nuevo has done to revitalize our beautiful downtown area has been so significant. These past 5 years have just changed the way that Tucson looks. I can't wait to reach out beyond our city lines and get people from Phoenix to come visit, get people from out of state to come visit. And Tucson is so beautiful that I'm confident people from out of the country will want to come here and see the amazing sights we have.
You're a millennial and you like what's going on, certainly with downtown, which is very much appealing to the millennials.
It is. Yes, there's a lot to offer. What I find very interesting, too, is that it's bleeding out into other parts of the city. For example, I'm a cyclist. I crossed the country last year. I started in Los Angeles.
Really?
And rode all the way to Washington, D.C. And so I got
That's
to see.
That's like 3,000 miles.
3,100 miles.
Oh, whoa.
I got so fit. My legs were so strong.
And that took how long?
I took 2 months. I rode 70 miles a day. And the reason I did it was to help people with disabilities. So every time we'd stop, we'd meet with a nonprofit that served people with different disabilities. And I got to meet and empathize with so many people. It was wonderful.
Where did all of this work ethic, this wanting to do well for other people, where does that come from? You moved to Arizona in 2006. You're 28 years old. Where did you grow up? And did your parents instill this kind of work ethic in you and wanting to help others?
My parents are extremely hard workers, and they've given me a great example. But I would go back to when I was five as this pivotal point. When I was picked out of Mexico, a Spanish-speaking country, and I was put into an English-speaking public school, and I didn't know how to say anything. I'd only had a handful of words, and I couldn't communicate. I felt super isolated. And so it's with that same passion that that I overcame and educated myself and helped just be integrated into the system that I want to make sure that no one else feels the same isolation.
Are you a so-called dreamer?
You know, I came over here legally, which gives me a lot of benefits. It allows me to run for office. It allowed me to naturalize.
That's
I'm fully
right.
supportive of dreamers. But what the sad thing is that the administration has pitted people who have come here legally with dreamers. They're trying to limit legal immigration as well, and they're holding 1.8 million dreamers hostage to do so.
All right. So your big issues: accelerate the local economy, high quality education. We haven't talked about your third marquee issue: increase local control.
It is. And that's got to do with preemption at the legislature. Sometimes it feels like the Republican legislators, because they're in the majority and because they control the biggest part of the economy, they can say what happens in every other county. And I disagree with that. I think that we have local issues that need local attention. And as you know, all politics is local, so we should be able to govern the way that we want.
Where can people find out more? I mentioned you are very active on Facebook and you're always welcoming new friends, but what about your website?
Bill, if you want to learn more about me, please go to martinforarizona.com. It's all spelled out.
All right. J.P. Martin, he is a Democrat in a three-way primary against the two incumbents in Legislative District Number 9. And LD9, you mentioned it covers the foothills. It's kind of a interesting footprint for that district, isn't it?
It is. It's a very white district.
Uh-huh.
And it ranges from Ward 6, which has a more midtown kind of feel to it, mm-hmm. a lot more denser neighborhoods. They have a lot more issues with housing that I'd like to pay special consideration to, all the way to the foothills, which the houses are kind of sparse, less commercial real estate.
Up to my area.
Mm-hmm.
All right. J.P. Martin, thank you, sir. And we'll talk again, I'm sure. Thank you very
much.
Sir,
it's been a pleasure.
All right. Coming up next, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson will be on the live line with us right after we take a break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This week's Arch Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, and there are still some great seats available for tonight's 6:30 show, Tau, Drum Heart, this modern, high-energy, and action-packed performance showcases the ancient art of Japanese drumming. The performers tell a very captivating story by utilizing highly physical, large-scale drumming. You've seen those huge drums. Precise choreography, spectacular costumes, and innovative visuals. Great show planned. Thursday, April 26th, the Fox welcomes Tanya Tucker to the stage at the Fox. I mean, come on, Tanya Tucker, all those signature classics presented with that unforgettable sass and soulful vocals. So that's going to be a great show. April 27th, enjoy the Woodstock-era Americana sound of the Waite Band, performing both original music and music from their 10 years with the band, the Levon Helm Band, and the Rick Danko Group. So great music there. To view the full Fox schedule, check out their website, foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan, so much going on over at the Fox, including that Waite Band is going to be a terrific show.
Yeah, people really undervalue, I think, to me, this is just my opinion, the influence of the band is part of, like, American music culture. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Dylan got them their start, but the catalog of their music is incredible. And, you know, it's like these very talented people performing it. It's all a win, right?
It is, and I was very lucky that I saw Dylan with the band in Chicago a million years ago. But, oh, my goodness, what just the memories of that evening, incredible.
Well, now I'm filled with jealous rage. I wanted to go to that show.
What's going on? Give us a few.
You know what? It's an incredible time. You know, we just had our Arizona Office of Tourism meeting. So, I mean, you know, plenty going on here. But let me tell you about the art, Bill. I'm ready. Okay.
All right.
Tom Philbaum, Tucson legend, right?
Yep.
He's retiring, sort of finishing up his career. April 28th at the Snoring Glass School, doing a toast to Tom Philbaum. This is going to be studio demonstrations, a sculpture garden event. They'll be doing toasts to Tom, as is in the name. Get to celebrate Tom Philbaum's career, see some incredible glass art. Just go to sonoranglass.org for more information. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, April 28th. I love, one of my favorite things in this town is the U of A Museum of Art's MFA thesis exhibition. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're finishing your Master's of Fine Arts, you do a presentation, you do art instead of, you know, a final essay or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Through May 11th, that's at the U of A Museum of Art. You get to see sort of forward-thinking, great art by students. See the future of art in our own town. Incredible opportunity.
Speaking of art and museum art, we had Julie Sassy, the longtime and highly acclaimed curator on the program from Tucson Museum of Art. She was on the program yesterday and talking, Dan, about the biennial. That's the every 2 year juried art show and a record number of entries. And it is going to be spectacular. So that's going to be fun, too.
I have another Tucson Museum of Art thing.
Go ahead.
Here is one, something I'm looking forward to. May 10th, Gloria Gifford's in conversation with curator Julie Sassy. Julie Sassy, they'll be talking about Mayo textiles. Maybe Mayo. I don't know. It's a woven art collection. There's an exhibition coming up that's from the Gloria Gifford's collection. People may or may not know, Gloria Giffords, the mother of former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, also an incredible art curator herself. So you'll get to see that. That's from 5:30 to 7:30 on May 10th. That's something worth marking on the calendar. Can I do a personal plug, Bill?
Yes. When I hear that date, I believe that's a date you'll be doing the program.
Yes, it is. I'll talk about it then. That's a good plug, too. I'll be on the program. It'll be Travel and Tourism Week.
Yep.
I'll be talking about that. My personal thing, it has nothing to do with art, but it's my last chance before this comes up. If you have friends and family in Chicago, if you've, you know somebody up there, we'll be doing a El Loto Canelo pop-up in Chicago at the Chicago French Market. Free Sonoran hot dogs for the people of Chicago. They're winning a James Beard Award on the 7th. So we'll be in the Chicago French Market the 5th and the 7th. Tell your friends. Hey, get a little taste of Tucson there in Chicago. If you go to our Facebook page, there's information about it.
And you're doing a travel thing right now. Aren't you up in Phoenix?
Yeah, the Arizona Office of Tourism has every couple months a meeting about what's happening statewide. So we're learning about all the projects they're working on, the countries they're emphasizing, especially internationally, all the stuff. It's crazy times. Busy, busy, Bill. It's nuts. Phoenix today. Chicago next week, be in Montreal later in May. I'll do your show nonstop, trying to hustle to promote this community for sure.
Yeah, that's the first day of my vacation, and you will be really part of a terrific lineup of guest hosts. That will be Thursday, May 10th. I'm turning over the whole hour to you. Do you have some good guests lined up already, Dan?
Absolutely. Kat from the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum is going to be on talking about some of the new programs they're doing there, the emphasis on what attractions mean to our community. Still locking down a guest from the hotel community, got a couple people looking up. But everyone always asks me, what do people do in the summer for tourism? So we'll talk a little bit about that on the hotel end. And we'll be talking about some upcoming events, the sort of summer of tourism, reasons that you should tell your friends from Phoenix and all around the country why they should be in Tucson this summer. We know it's hot, but it'll still be fun.
tomorrow, a little plug, advance plug, from 12:30 to 1, we're going to do a deep dive with Janos Wilder, kind of a retrospective about his amazing career in the restaurant business here in Tucson, going all the way back to kind of the original Janos, which was located on the campus of Tucson Museum of Art, and up to what he's doing currently. Actually, it's there's a festival coming up, Agave Festival, coming up next week.
That Agave Heritage Fest
is
an incredible lineup. I'm sure we'll have talk about it a little bit coming up. I imagine Matt will talk about it at the Weekend Watch, hopefully. But it's it had started with just one event, the Agave Fest at Congress. Now it's 30-some events, lectures, educational opportunities, family fun, opportunities to taste different mezcals, how to see that how agave plants are grown at the Mission Garden. It's really something. It's all on the web. If you go to Hotel Congress's site, you can get there. I think agaveheritagefestival.com works as well. And then there'd be a dinner for Giannis at that as well.
Yep. What's the buzz from that New York Times piece that was just glowing a couple of weeks ago about Tucson? What are you hearing about that, sir?
It has been notable. I mean, there's been quite a bit of we've seen a resurgence on our website from traffic in New York City just from that. And obviously the great thing about New York Times is you have that national emphasis. But one of the things with an article of that scale is that you actually see a lot of other journalists asking questions. And for us, in our particular edge of the world, you get they'll see that article and they'll say, "Hey, wait, I saw that thing in the New York Times. where is that stuff? How do we get in touch with that? How can I write an article about that?" So it's been rich. I mean, we've had this really bizarre world run with the New York Times, three features in the last 2 years, and then some other things. And I believe there's actually one more, by my knowledge at least, one more New York Times travel feature coming up. So we're thankful for the attention. When you get on that scale, it really does say, that Tucson is this a vacation destination that's, matching anywhere else in the country, anywhere else in the world, that there's so much to do, so much to experience, and it's unique and special. And I was so happy to see that article because it really told the story in the way that I think most Tucsonans see this community as being funky and interesting and culturally alive and,
yep.
you know, sort of reflecting the borderlands.
All right, Dan Gibson, always a pleasure from Visit Tucson. Dan, have a safe trip back to Tucson. Be careful out there on I-10.
Will do. I'll do my best.
All right. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. There are still great seats available for tonight's 6:30 p.m. show, which is Tau Drum Heart. So that's tonight. And then Tanya Tucker, April 26th. So we've got that show coming up on Thursday. And then The Weight Band on Friday at the Fox. So, I mean, it is a terrific lineup. To find out all the things that are going on at the Fox Tucson Theater, visit foxtucson.com for more information. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We have this afternoon from 4 to 6. I almost said 1 hour, but the program has been expanded now from 4 to 6, and that's Mike Check. The host is Mike Shaw, and he is ably assisted by Ray Allen. Coming up tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. Our guest tomorrow, Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor. Then Janos Wilder for a half an hour talking about his great career. On behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.